Thank you, Jesus, that as we look in your word today in this very familiar passage brought to us by Linus and the Peanuts special, we're so grateful, God, that your word is true, that it's been proclaimed. I pray that we won't look at this as such a familiar passage that we miss the whole point, that somehow you chose to come down and be with us. You chose to live with us and love us through your life, and we're grateful, God, as you look upon us, that you can see robes of righteousness based on the life of Jesus Christ. This is just the beginning part here, and we're just so grateful, God, that we get to study a document that Luke spent so much time putting together, and we can know that this is all factual and true, that the research had been properly done, and this isn't made up history, but it's based on facts. So grateful for that, God. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 2 and going to go through verses 1 through 20 today. Heart pondering is how I've titled this. A number of times as we look through Scripture, it talks about Mary pondering things in her heart. Can you imagine this young teenage girl? She meets an angel. He shows up and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be the Son of God. It's going to be the Messiah, the Savior. This baby will be your Lord. Can you imagine just from that beginning? And then, of course, there may be some doubt. It's like, wait a minute, how could this be? She knew she was a virgin. There's no way that virgins have kids, and yet she finds herself pregnant. And as some measure of recognizing that this angel's word is true, he tells her, yeah, by the way, I've already talked to your relative Elizabeth, and she's going to have a baby too. Elizabeth is an old woman with an old husband and considered barren and no chance of having a child, and yet she's 6 months pregnant when the angel talks with Mary, or 5 months at least. So Mary goes and visits, you know, a 100-mile trek, walking on some pretty rough mountain terrain, and she gets to her relative Elizabeth, and they spend a few months together. And either just before or just after John the Baptizer is born, Mary heads back to her house. And this passage here picks up the story a little bit later than that. Some things have happened. She's going to be with her betrothed, Joseph, and they're going to go to Bethlehem. It's, again, interesting as you look at Old Testament prophecy. Micah had proclaimed that the Savior was going to be born in Bethlehem. Mary lived in Nazareth. Timing. God kind of knows everything that's going to happen long before it happens. And in this particular time, something takes place in the world that requires Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem. She's very pregnant by this time, taking another long trek and moving along, possibly on a donkey, possibly just on foot. They may not have been able to afford the donkey Uber. They were a poor family. Just glancing back at the beginning of Luke, just kind of highlighted a few words here. You know, Luke has talked with the eyewitnesses. He's recognized that in order to give a truthful, exact representation of all of the events that took place, he needed to follow along all of his research. And he's been somebody that interviews a lot of people. He organizes it in writing. So he gives this orderly sequence. He's investigated everything carefully, and he puts it all together, and we have the benefit of that in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. So when we look at this, this isn't just some story that somebody made up. This is a history book based on eyewitness interviews and the facts and the things, the people that he knew, that he talked with. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Which days are those? Those are the days that Mary is been moving along. She's pregnant. She's gone back home. In those days, this decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Of course, you know, this was a country. Rome thought they pretty much owned the whole world. In that time, that was the known world. They'd conquered anybody they could conquer. They had taken control. And so, you know, what do you do if you're a big wig king and you think you've conquered the whole world? You want to be able to know, how much have I conquered? And so you take a census. And so they want to count everybody. They have to do this in an organized fashion too. You know, they're not going to just kind of go around and count everybody in one town and then go to the next town and count them, because of course people can move around. And so they set out a decree. This census, it says everyone needs to go to their own home village. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All the people were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. So how many of you would have to probably leave Skykomish if you're having to go to your own city? You know, some of you get to stay here. Ted, if we're having a census and you have to all go to your own city, this is Ted's city. Can anyone else say that? So a lot of people would be coming to Skykomish. A lot of people would be leaving Skykomish. You'd have to get to your place. I would have to go to Ruston. I was born in Tacoma, but raised in Ruston, and Ruston is my home. So, you know, there's where we would have to get down there, this little one-square-mile town that's down by Point Defiance Park and Commencement Bay. If you ever want to have a wonderful, beautiful place to grow up, have Point Defiance Park as your backyard. It's a 750-acre city park with a zoo and an aquarium and lots of beach and just a lot of beautiful stuff. There's a fort there. They moved Fort Nisqually from Nisqually up there and put it back together in place, and, you know, kind of an acting, living history place. That at the time I was growing up, there was a train place, you know, that they had live steam engines that were running around, and you could hear them at night with your windows open because it's hot in the summertime, and you know, these steam engines would be running late at night and just having a great time listening to those. At Camp 6, there was a weird little thing. Somebody decided they wanted to put like storybook stuff in the woods, and so you had Never Never Land. You can go along and see all the different stories. That's long gone. Okay, a lot of that stuff didn't survive, but you know, I could go down there and hang out with Cecil at the aquarium, and he'd you know, take you into the little back apartment where he lived, and there were penguins in his bathtub. And you know, it was a fun place to hang out. It was a good place to be raised. And there was a big old duck pond, and when it snowed, there were some beautiful slopes. Of course, every once in a while, I'd find a tree at the bottom of the slope, and my mom would wonder why my glasses were broken again. But, you know, it was a great place to grow up. And I would think, you know, if there was a census where we had to go back to our hometown, that's where I would go. How many of you, just shout out where you would go? Seattle. Oh, scary. East LA, yeah. New York, somebody?
Yeah, upstate New York.
Upstate New York. Well, that's beautiful too. You know, it would have been quite a deal. A lot of people would be passing each other on the road. Probably would have been an interesting time period. So they're all going to their hometown. Now Joseph also went. He went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, little mountain town there, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. Quite the journey for this young teenage gal. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Might seem like an unfortunate time. It's like, wait a minute. Would have been more comfortable if we could have just stayed home and had our family around us and stuff. They probably had family around them somehow, but it's time to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. Interesting wording there. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So there's no place for them to stay. And so they have gone to the place where people drop off their animals. This probably was not a real sanitary, wonderful, beautiful place. I'm sure that a little bit of cleaning going on before this took place. The manger would be kind of the trough where they would either put the food or water for the animals. So she's basically hanging out in a barn-like structure with it could have been a carved out rock or something, but she's going wherever all the animals were left while people went to their various places. And this is where she has this child. And she lays him in this trough, didn't bring their own cradle or anything. In the same region, so in this region around Bethlehem, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. Shepherds were considered to be kind of the outcasts of society. They were, you know, considered dirty. Funny thing is, you know, that they were the ones that were watching over the sacrifices that were supposed to be brought to the temple. The perfect spotless lamb would come from these dirty shepherds, that nobody wanted to spend time with the shepherds. Shepherds were considered scoundrels. They were expected, if they came to town, they'd probably steal from you, kind of like some people think of gypsies, and they'd be looked down upon. Their word was not trusted enough that if they were trying to go into a courtroom and testify, their testimony wouldn't be worth that much. So these are the ones, they're hanging out there, probably watching over the temple flocks, these shepherds. They're out in the field. They're watching over the flock by night. And who shows up? An angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them. So this angel probably looked like, you know, pretty special guy. He shows up. He's standing near them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. Okay, if you're hanging out and watching your sheep and all of a sudden there's this glory light and there's some guy you don't recognize and it's like, okay, is this aliens? What's happening? This is strange. And they were frightened. Every time we see in Scripture that the angels show up, there's fear. I'm guessing that these are some pretty awesome looking creatures, these angels. Probably somewhat human form. So this angel standing near them, the angel said to them, of course they're frightened, and he says, do not be afraid, always. Why would God send an angel, a messenger, to visit these shepherds? I would think, you know, God has baby Jesus born in a barn with animals. First people that the angels want to go and tell this to is shepherds out in the field. If we were trying to orchestrate some sort of a PR for, hey, God's come to earth, you'd probably want him to show up in a palace or at least a really fancy B&B. And you'd want him to have a bathroom and medical staff around him, and you'd want him to be well cared for, and then the people you would want to tell would be all the important people. You'd call up your billionaire friends, and you'd want the movie stars and all of the athletes that you could find, and you'd set up this PR thing. It's like, these are the people that could get the word out. And God says, I got a different plan. Jesus is going to be born in humble circumstances. I'm going to go to the outcasts, the ones that people don't usually want to hear from or listen to, and I'm going to tell them this story, because that's who Jesus loves, is everyone. He's not a respecter of persons. And so this angel says to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy which will be for all the people. That's one thing to say this is for all the people. You know, we've got a constitution, right? It says that, you know, our country is for all the people, and yet at the time that constitution was written, it didn't really mean all the people. And we kind of just, some people can say the right things and not mean the right things. And God is demonstrating here, and Luke has somehow been able to capture the heart of God in this story, where God shows up and says, yeah, humble circumstances, we're not going to make a big deal of this. This baby gets to be with the animals, hanging out in the barn, in a trough. And I think we should go tell the dirty shepherds about this. They're going to want to know, because this is good news. This is great news for all the people. And this really does mean all the people. We'll start with all the people that usually get ignored. We'll start with all the people that wouldn't normally be considered as all the people, because they're probably out here looked down upon even by some of the priests whose sheep they're watching. There was a class system. We can act like we don't have a class system in the United States. We do. How many of us can think of a few people that we might turn our noses up at? I hope not. Because Jesus came to die for all of the people. So this angel tells him, there's great news. This is wonderful news. This is gospel. This is something. There's joy coming into the world. We sang about it, joy to the world. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you, what is this good news? There's been born for you a Savior. Christ the Lord. Savior who is Christ the Lord. Just a baby now. He's just been born, but he's a Savior. He's Christ. He's the Lord. This is good news. This is something that the people in Israel had been waiting for at least 400 years. Even before that. They've been waiting and waiting and hoping that this Savior that they keep hearing about. And after a certain point, people start thinking, well, maybe it's just a fairy tale that's been passed on from generation to generation. This is just a story our parents tell us to maybe help us, you know, have something to look forward to or to keep us in line. I know that religious stories can be used and misused, but this angel shows up and he's like, this is happening right now. And this will be a sign for you. In case you're not really understanding or believing me, I mean the glorious bright lights right now and this stranger that's talking to you, if that's not enough, there's another sign. We're gonna guide you along the way. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's not a normal thing, is it? If he told them, yeah, you're going to find a baby somewhere in this city down here and he's going to be in a house. It's like, okay, yeah. Whatever, but no, this is a special child, and this is what they're going to find. Well, there's an interesting thing as you look through Scripture. Sometimes you realize that there's other beings watching us. You know that Scripture says that the angels watch us, and they're jealous of how much we get to have. They're jealous of our relationship with Christ. They're jealous of how Christ came and died for us. They're jealous of the fact that God loves us so much. And that they're watching with anticipation to see, what are you going to do with this special gospel good news that you have? And they're hoping that we pick the right team. And these angels are kind of hanging out and they're watching. There's an Old Testament story where a prophet is kind of, you know, maybe having a bad day in a way, but he's not worried about it at all. But his assistant is quite concerned because there's armies of people that have come out to capture this prophet and take him to the king, and he's going to be probably killed, at least beaten and interviewed harshly. And the old prophet's not worried about it at all. There's these, you know, there's lots and lots of armies around them, and the prophet asks, "Well, Lord, could you open his eyes?" because those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. And when his assistant's eyes are open, he realizes there's a heavenly host, an army that's there surrounding and covering them. And they're taken care of. Well, here, this angel has come and he's talked to these shepherds and they're hanging out in the field and, you know, the whole, oh, I'm frightened, and then don't be afraid. So they've gotten past that part. And then the next thing you know, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army of angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. These angels can't contain themselves anymore. They're seeing the good news. They're seeing that this plan that God has had is starting to unfold. The plan had been written about in Old Testament. Anybody that had studied Old Testament, including Mary and Joseph and you know, all of the people, these characters that Luke gets to interview, Elizabeth, Zechariah, you know, the whole bunch of them, they're biblical scholars. They know the Word of God. They know the stories. And now the stories are starting to unfold and these angels are watching and it's like, yeah, this is special. This kid has just been born that's going to be Savior of the world. And they've been watching this world and they know this world really, really needs a Savior. And so they break out and start shouting praise and singing glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem. Why? Because this angel had told them, you will find, and so they're going to go find. Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. Here's Mary and Joseph kind of thinking, man, I wish there had been room in the inn. Would have been awful nice to have a better bed than this. We're out with the animals. And then these strangers, these smelly strangers show up and they've got a story. And they're saying, yeah, an angel came. He told us about this. We saw this in person. I wonder how many of these shepherds Luke got to interview. I wonder how many of these shepherds could keep their mouth shut after this experience. They made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. I'm sure they told everybody that was, you know, and we think, okay, there's Mary and Joseph and the babe in this area with the little manger and the, you know, it's like there's no room in the inn. Can you think about if everybody that would call Skykomish their home had to come back to Skykomish right now? How many of them would be hanging out in whatever structure they could find? Because there wouldn't be room for all of them. This town used to have a couple thousand residents. Even though some of us would leave and maybe they could, you know, get into our houses and hang out there for a bit, there wouldn't be room. I'm pretty sure that there were others. We don't really hear that part of the story. Luke doesn't tell us, I'm speculating here, that there were probably numerous people hanging out in this little building, structure, whatever it was, where the animals were. Because there wasn't room for this family. It's not like everybody else had room, but not this family. And the shepherds, they come down and they tell whoever's in earshot, this is what the angel came and told us. And we're here to tell you, we've found this baby. This is just like the angel said it would be. If you're in earshot, you're starting to think, okay, this isn't just a weird couple that had to come here for this, you know, this census. There's something different going on here. If angels are showing up and proclaiming good news, great joy, all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. I'm pretty sure these shepherds told anybody that would listen. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. This baby's just been born and she's got an awful lot to process still. It's like, wow. Okay, I remember Gabriel came and Gabriel had, by the way, had come and talked to Joseph too. That's why they're still together. I think he would have probably set her aside quietly otherwise. There's a lot going on here, and this baby's been born. She knows that one of her relatives has a kid who's going to proclaim the way, and John the Baptizer will come back up in the story later, but right now she's pondering this thing where the shepherds show up, and they say, yeah, an angel talked to us, and then there was a host of angels, and there's all this singing, and this is really good news. You've got a baby. Babies are good news. Kathy and I got to babysit this week. Sharon got to babysit this week. Little Jasper, he's a precious child. And if you get to spend time with any baby, it's good news. But this baby in the manger, this Jesus child, Savior, Lord, in the form of a baby, getting everything wrapped up. It's like, I love the mountains, I love the ocean, you know, we can enjoy lots of beautiful things. Here you had a baby that is Savior of the world. This is a baby with eternal past and eternal future. This is a baby that's going to come and save everyone and be Lord if they're willing to allow it. And these shepherds come down here and they just tell everybody. And Mary ponders these things in her heart. Shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Of course, they had to get back into the hills there and watch the sheep. They had a job to do. But I bet you they're doing it with a lighter heart, a little bit more energy, a little bit more pep in their step as they go along now. It's like, yeah, they might even be talking to the sheep. You know what? We saw a baby. This baby's going to be the Lord of the world. Father, as we come to you, we know that we got to meet baby Jesus. We got to meet the Lord, the Savior of the world. And he's chosen to dwell among us and dwell in us. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful that this story has no end. This is truly glorious good news of great joy. Help us to recognize that and to never lose our joy, no matter what the circumstances. Help us to ponder in our hearts the goodness of your plan. Amen.